are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Planning and implementing a regular family business studies can be a rewarding and spiritually enriching experience. The key to successful family Bible studies is creating an environment that engages participation, discussion, and spiritual growth while adapting to the unique dynamics of your family. And we are unpacking this with my pastor, Pastor Tiani Mwongwa. I did say that, yeah, even pastor is a family person, he will plug us the right way. You want to lay? Pastor Mwongwa, Afsheni, how are you? Pastor Mwongwa. I can hear you, Pastor, but you're sounding very far.
Hello.
Yes, Mfundisi Minjani.
Hey, kona Minjani.
Ipukile. Thank you for joining us here to come and speak about this beautiful topic about family Bible worship.
Yeah.
indeed. Mfundisi, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us so that the Holy Spirit may guide us in this conversation?
Oh, yes. Lord Jesus, we want to submit ourselves to this service where in our world, prayer has been put aside. We are busy with other priorities to the neglect of our own souls. Help us in this short time that we have to meditate on creating time to talk to you and to listen to you. We plead in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, reading the Bible as a family is very important, and sometimes there might be a little bit challenges here and there because the children, we have to make them get into that rhythm. But why is it important, Mfundiswami, to establish a consistent family time for Bible studies?
You know, I cannot overemphasize that the need for us to pray with our children. You will remember in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 to 9, he says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. It's like he's speaking to the parents. Mm-hmm. Get them inside of you and then get them inside your children. Mm. So, it's like we must just pass on this treasure. Mm. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. And goes on to say, tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorpost of your homes and on your city gates. Mm. Now, you will appreciate that God is saying, it's actually saying, there's no time when we should not even talk about this. Mm. To me, it's like walking down the mall and talking about it. You are in the crowd, but you are still talking to your children and so on and so on. Mm. So we do not have a choice. Mm. And something emotional about this, I grew up in Tzaneen, and everybody around my father and where we were going, every father was going to Johannesburg and to go and work and come home for Christmas only. And
yes.
And my brother and I said to my dad, look, they are more economically empowered. Now you are staying here. We don't get, the bicycles, the new clothes. And my dad, I still remember tears flowing down his face saying, how can I leave this woman, your mother, to bring up children on her own, what will I say on the judgment day? And we never asked him ever again. Ultimately, there were 9 of us. And in fact, we are still 9.
Amen. And
in the church, all 9 of us. I doubt if he left us alone, Mom would have survived to bring us up. Yeah, so this is very crucial. Let me hasten to say, we do have atheist churchgoers where we as church people don't prioritize prayer, but we enjoy the singing and the good sermons. We just don't enjoy setting aside time, or if we do, very little of it.
So, Mfundisi, when we create these regular studies, right, how do they now contribute to the success of our Bible study routine, to a point where if we studied now, for example, I've got a 3-year-old, if she knows that every day at 8 we are reading, even if it's just one verse, but it's done daily, will she now at the age of 50 know that at 8 o'clock, noma kanjani, I must be studying the Bible? Does it contribute to that, like, you know, we are putting it together? Sorry, we are remembering all the time. And the network, you know, man, the network just goes into. Please come
back.
They
love predictability. Yes. It gives them a sense of purpose and direction. When they know where mom and dad are going, or where in single family setup, where they know mom will be here for me. It removes anxieties about life, even in general, to know when parent is coming home. And so it's very important. Now I was reading in one book, where the children were boys. There were 4 boys. Now, their parents had built this room, and it would never be occupied any time. It was just dedicated for prayer. And that's where the family met. Now, these boys got rich, of course, and then they left the family home and they went about. But when they sold the house, they said to the owner, please, you may demolish and do whatever you want, but don't touch this room. And then that was the agreement. And they were willing to pay rent for that prayer room. And then every time they would go there and place their petition to the Lord. And it is because their parents had a marked place and they were regular in prayer. And they couldn't help it. They went astray, as a matter of fact, but then they reminded each other.
Yeah.
And they managed to go back to the Lord long after the death of their parents. So it is so important to be regular. Some of the suggestions I would make would be mealtime. I don't know if I'm going ahead too much.
No, it's okay.
Mealtime, I find it to be okay, because you are tying prayer time to something very nice, and take the mealtime very serious. And I would suggest that no no cell phones during mealtime, and no TV, nothing. It's just mealtime and followed by prayer, or vice versa. And then where we, one writer suggests you read the text three or four times, listing anything that you the text seem to be saying, and making a round. Tabo, in your case, what's the name of the three-year-old?
Ustandile.
Oh, Ustandile. All right. So that would be Ustandile. What does this mean to you? Then the three-year-old will fumble. And,
yes.
but it's his, it's her experience.
Yes.
You don't need to doubt it. And as she grows, she will get to understand. And I would also suggest that things that seem to have worked research-based, let the family relate to what is happening there, what, that is being read, you know, and maybe apply, ask questions like, how would this apply to you, where applicable, of course, and how did it apply today? How did you experience the Lord today? And I would say, as soon as they are around 10, you want to appeal for baptism and ask them to prepare.
Okay.
And other things that to look at would be agreeing on the theme, because if it's imposed on them without discussing, the level of commitment may not be that great. They may be saying, just to get, you know. So it's better to ask them how they feel about the topic that is being addressed. Of course, with age appropriateness and their interest being taken into account, you'll be surprised how they ask big questions. And for example, when my 6-year-old grandson would, when he read about what God did to the antediluvians, he says, destroying the people. He said, so God created people to destroy them. And man, it was tough.
Yeah.
I had to say, he was not destroying them. He was destroying sin.
Okay.
But they happened to be a friend of sin. So God didn't know how to separate them. So as they learn to ask questions, no matter how stupid sometimes they may sound, to answer them and being able to say, I don't know, let me go and check. And later on, and then come back. So when they see the family striving to meet the time, it says a lot to them. And when the parents cannot make that time, they need to apologize and ask one of the children to rather pray at that time. And maybe later on when they are available, they can say, oh, we are now available, and maybe do the shorter version. But the parents, the children need to see that the parents are committed to this thing. And
So Mfundisi, we there are parents or families that have a mixture of children, right? So I want us to talk about the incorporating different learning styles. So, for example, a 12-year-old might find it boring when you read the kids' Bible, because it's very diluted, you know. Whilst the 3-year-old, for example, Ustandile, might not understand when we read the, let me just say, big people's Bible, so that there's a difference, mm-hmm. you know, the normal mm-hmm. Bible. So how important right. is it for us to incorporate? Would it be, okay, 2 days we are reading from the kids' Bible, 3 days we are reading from the big people's Bible, or how mm-hmm. would we go about those different learning studies? Because others, the younger ones won't concentrate, the older one will get bored, and then it becomes a bit tricky.
Usually the bigger boys will be, the bigger kids will be scolding the little one, mm-hmm. and they become impatient. But as long as there's an agreement that everybody needs to be given time to express himself or herself, so including that content, to say, like you gave an example of alternative days.
Mm-hmm.
In other families, it may be in the same prayer session
mm-hmm.
Where it is now the turn of the different age groups, they participate. Usually, I would say, if mom and dad have done their prayer in the bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and or will do their prayer in the evening, for example, then the rest of that time of worship will be focused on the kids in terms of their age and level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would suggest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's right.
Mpundisi, you know, you when you were speaking about your grandson, you know, asking questions, mm-hmm. I truly believe that, you know, some of these Bible sessions we have at home, they actually mm-hmm. even push us as parents as well to go and study, because the questions that come there, tricky. Tricky. They will test you. They will test you, you know. Mm. So how then do we create that environment for children to ask those questions and have this discussion, you know? And does it also contribute to a deeper understanding and application of biblical principles in life? Because sometimes as parents, when we feel like, hey, mm-hmm. we can't explain, for example, the creation week. We can't explain it up until the children understand it perfectly, and the questions they come through, we're like, okay, fine, no more discussion, we just read the scripture, memorize the scripture, we pray, we go to sleep, you know, which is not advisable. So how then do we go about those questions and also getting those lessons that are going to apply to our day-to-day life?
I think it needs to be what we did, we would do in my family, is that we would go even to the library.
Okay.
Beyond the Uncle Arthur's Bible stories and bedtime stories, we would also go to the library.
Mm.
And like, if we do not understand the question if we do not know how to present it to their level,
mm-hmm.
then we would go to the library and check out something and then read for them.
Mm.
Yeah. But there's also the development of the mind and in general, but also for the scriptures. When we start reading more story books from the Bible, I mean, by Christian authors, that are Christian-based, we are developing for our kids also to learn to read for themselves,
mm-hmm.
so that so that does help, because you may find you as a parent do not know how to express it clearly,
yes.
but then you find this author, the way he rewrote a chapter in the Bible, for example, he wrote it with experience and the knowledge of the those pedagogies, you know. Yeah, so that helps to extra books beyond the Bible. And But we also do not need to despair, because when they go through the progressive classes, they also meet other things that may be certain corners that we were not able to cover. Now, you'll find that the children's teacher will struggle, because the parent just dump the child to that elected person. No. That should complement what the parents are doing at church. What the teacher at church is doing should just complement, not taking over. And so much so that the teacher takes delight when he realizes that this particular child is ahead of the class, because the parents are very serious. You'll remember the story of Eunice and Timothy. It was the effort of the grandmother and the mother why he became such a dynamic pastor.
So, Mfundisi, you also mentioned the issue of, for example, my three-year-old, Ustandile, right, asking questions there, even though sometimes they might feel like they might not even make sense, you know, or unrelated to what we are talking about. So how do we ensure that
Ah, that one is very important. Because you may be dealing with the creation. All of a sudden, from nowhere, they ask you about their biology. And they can ask, but where do children come from? And you are busy dealing with something that, and then they just ask questions. No, you go with the flow. I know you can still control, but you want to give an impression that questions are welcome. Now, if you are going to say,
Pastor,
you are saying indirectly, don't ask questions. So you answer that one, even if it's out of the topic. Hello.
Yes, Mfundis. So with that one, Mfundis, I wanted to check, allowing them to ask their questions, right? How do we get the older ones to be patient when the younger ones are asking the questions? And how do we get now the older ones to help us, the parents, to explain to the younger ones what it is that we are talking about? Because you may find that, for example, Ustandile might relate more to what the brother, you understand more to the brother, how he's explaining to us parents. So how do we foster that teaching throughout everyone in the family?
Part of it could be to give more responsibility. I think I made a note here that even the worship itself must not be led by parents only. So when you say to the older sibling, please lead us today, you are also saying, answer the question. So it must be an atmosphere where it doesn't appear like the parents are pushing this down the throats of the... That's why we talked about planning together, about time and place and so on. So you want to create an atmosphere that says, It's not only mom and dad that knows.
Mm.
Maybe if the older one, just by way of an example, has missed a certain concept, he can be corrected later,
yes,
outside the prayer.
Ah, I love it.
To say, you were doing very fine in answering your little sister.
Yeah.
But then actually this is how it goes. And then the child will simply say, I missed that. Mm. And then you give him or her a reference to that effect.
Mm.
So it's an atmosphere where everybody looks forward to participating rather than to listening.
Mm. Mm. I love that. And as you're saying most of those things, I could see, for example, with my family, so the age groups is very very different. The oldest being 12, the youngest being 3, and you could see that it's a bit of a challenge, you know, to get them all in that space. But I'm happy that you were able to bring forth, you know, the examples that we can try, and also being consistent on time, because some days I'm like, today, you know, I'm super exhausted. Let us just pray and go to sleep. We don't study, you know, it happens. Or the older one is like, today, mommy, I've got a lot of homework, you know, and projects, you know. So, okay, the young ones come. But I'm happy that you re-emphasize that, guys, let us all meet. Let us make it a daily thing. And then we pray. If one parent is not there, call them. If they can answer the call them. Be having them on the call so that the kids know that mommy and daddy are there. If it's a single parent home, it's fine. Just be there. If you have an older child, let them take the reins and lead that one. But Mfundisi, thank you so much. I cannot over express my thank you. But I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us as families that we may do this and do it intentionally?
Oh, let us pray. Father and God, you have entrusted us with little minds that we may create your likeness in them, in your image. They are created. Help us to understand their creator. And give us wisdom, extraordinary wisdom, because the television is competing with us. The neighborhood, they are flooded with so many values, so many options to choose from. Help us to guard this space with all jealous and dedication, knowing that one day we will give an account on the judgment day for kids that could have gone astray and be lost. Save us first and give us this burden as parents, more than money. In Jesus' name, we pray for this wisdom. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, nikensile ngoku. Mvana siku lerinene.
Ngoku.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.